Today's Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 7. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession, out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that is thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven, like a master of a house, who brings out his treasure what is new and what is old." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, women, how many of you own a string of pearls? All right, a few hands went up. Well, most women like pearls. I know mine does. And the regular ones that we see are the ones cultivated by oyster farmers. The pearl takes its shape by the bead that is inserted inside of the oyster. And then after about 6 months, it's harvested, sent to the jewelers to be polished and shaped. Some, though, are harvested from the bottom of the sea. They are not perfectly round, and their color is not uniform or their size uniform. They're not as highly prized as the cultivated ones. In the South Sea of China, for example, women will dive down many meters into the water to harvest dozens of oysters just to string one set of pearls. In our gospel lesson, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a fine pearl. Now, there's multiple layers to this parable. And once we understand what the kingdom of God is, then we can understand what the fine pearl is. And sometimes we make this parable in being more complex than it needs to be. But what is the kingdom of God? It is first mentioned in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." In verse 8, John says to the Pharisees, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." What did John mean? In verses 11 to 12, John says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." What John's getting at is that the kingdom of God is coupled to the one who gathers unto himself those who live fruitful lives. He's linking Jesus with the kingdom of God, meaning repent, for Jesus is at hand. Now, Jesus never directly defines what the kingdom of God is. He tells us to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. After all the years that I've studied and read the Bible, this is what I believe it means. The kingdom of heaven is all that Jesus encompasses in his incarnation, his life, his ministry, his death, resurrection, and future return. The kingdom of heaven is all that's enveloped within Christ himself. Jesus is the resurrection. He is love and peace. He's the means by which we are forgiven of all of our sins, and Jesus is the hope for our present and eternal future. So when Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven is upon us, he's saying that love, salvation, redemption, and the way, the truth, and the life to eternal peace is upon you and I through him. He's saying that the kingdom of heaven through him is the means of living a fruit-filled life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, it doesn't fully describe the kingdom of God, but Jesus gives a bit of a hint more into what the kingdom of God is in Matthew 16, verse 19. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." In other words, the kingdom of God is lived out through the church itself. One scholar wrote, "The kingdom of God is the whole of God's redeeming activity in Christ in this world. The church is the assembly of those who belong to Jesus Christ." Later in his writing, he said, "The church is the assembly of those who accepted the gospel of the kingdom in faith, who participate in the salvation of the kingdom, which includes the forgiveness of sins, adoption of God, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the possession of eternal life." The kingdom of God is to be highly valued because it came at a great cost. It came at a great cost to Jesus Christ. And he likens the kingdom of God to a fine pearl. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. We need to ask, who's the merchant looking for the fine pearls? Now, a word of caution here. We cannot buy the kingdom of heaven like the one in the parable did who bought the fine pearl. Some have tried to buy into the kingdom of heaven and have failed. In the book of Acts, you have the great story of Ananias and Sapphira. The apostles had gathered together, and they said that they were living together as each gave as they could, and each received as they had need. So people sold all that they had and gave it to the church. And an example is Ananias and Sapphira. They sold a field. Now that was a good thing to do. And they came to the apostles and said, this is all we received from the field. But they lied. They kept some of it back. The sin is not that they kept something back. The sin was they said, this is all that I received. That would be the equivalent of if I sold a field for $100,000 and I donated it to the church and said, this is what I got. I got $80,000 for the field. That's all I got from the field was $80,000, but I kept $20,000 back. I would be lying. I'd be guilty of the sins of Ananias and Sapphira. There's also the example of Simon the sorcerer. When he saw what the apostles were doing, that they were laying hands on people, giving them the Holy Spirit, and healing people, Simon said, give me this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. He was trying to buy his way into receiving these gifts. And Peter said, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your hearts. Just two examples of those who tried to buy their way into the kingdom of heaven or buy the kingdom of heaven and failed. St. Peter is saying that the kingdom of God cannot be bought. Instead, what Jesus is doing here, he's playing with our human sensibilities. He knows the nice things in life, like pearls, like precious gems, like gold and silver, and all the things that we can buy today, whether that's electronics, cars, or fine jewelry. If we want something fine, there's many ways that we can buy it. We can either use credit, we can save up and buy it, or we can sell other possessions that we have in order to buy it. Or, I would add, we could simply ask for it for free. Maybe the pearl merchant could have got the pearl for free if he just would have asked. But the pearl still would have come at a great price. Like, if I gave a pearl necklace to every woman in this congregation, you would say you got it for free. But did it come at great cost to me personally? Yes. That's how it works with the fine pearl, the kingdom of God that Christ is offering. He's offering it to us for free, but it came at great cost to him. We should be willing to give up anything, to sell anything in order to acquire it. What do we really value, though? Do I value the kingdom of heaven to give up everything that I have? Or am I so attached to my stuff that I can't give it up for the kingdom of heaven? What he's saying is, here is the pearl, the kingdom of heaven, and it's free to you. But it comes at a great cost to him. In return, he's asking us to change our lives. No longer do we seek after the things that we feel have worth. Another way to look at this parable is that Jesus is the merchant and that we are the fine pearl that he seeks after. He dives into our humanity to search for you and I. He gave up everything, including life, to get us. The kingdom of heaven is like a fine pearl. As those likened to the merchant, Jesus says, search yourself and ask, are you willing to give up all that you've ever known and owned to come into the kingdom of heaven? And then he likens it to the pearl. Jesus was willing to give up everything he had to purchase us from Satan, to bring us back into God's eternal love, peace, and eternal presence. Jesus is saying to us, wear the kingdom of heaven around your neck like a fine set of pearls. Show off your necklace to all your friends and tell them they can get their own for free as well. All they have to do is ask. So let me ask you in closing, won't you show off your pearl necklace today? May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.